Today, after just a few weeks off, we're returning to our sermon series on 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. A few weeks ago, we finished Paul's first letter to the church of the Thessalonians, and now we jump into the second. And strangely enough, we're going to start in the middle, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, which we said together as our new memory verse, and I just read to you. It's a prayer nestled in the middle of Paul's letter to that beloved baby church that he helped to start and cared so deeply about. You may remember that it's from these two verses that we get our title for this entire series, Eternal Encouragement. That's in verse 16. Your version might say eternal comfort, which is a good translation. You may remember that encouragement comes in two basic flavors. There is exhortation, like, I encourage you to get your feet off the coffee table, mister. And there's encouragement like consolation. I'm so encouraged to know that the Lord is at work in our church by hearing all these things that God has been doing in our Kentucky team. Exhortation and consolation are both kinds of encouragement. If anything, I think this one is more comfort and consolation because in this context, Paul has been trying to encourage the Thessalonians since they're being persecuted for their faith. We'll get into that more next week, Lord willing, when we open up chapter 1. But this church was hurting. And so Paul was reminding them once again about the return of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he will one day bring. He's going to come and fix everything. Amen? And that is the source of what he calls eternal encouragement. Eternal encouragement. Eternal, like unending, like forever, like inexhaustible, unstoppable. Encouragement, comfort, consolation, forever. Eternal encouragement. Doesn't that sound good? Do you need some encouragement these days? My guess is that you were encouraged by some of what you heard up here this morning. I need encouragement. And not just a flaky encouragement that's based on something transitory and fleeting, but solid encouragement, something that doesn't run out. Eternal encouragement. And Paul knew that the persecuted Thessalonians needed that as well. And so in the middle of his letter, he pulls up and he prays it for them. And maybe the most encouraging thing he says in his prayer is that they already have eternal encouragement. Did you catch that? Paul prayed, "Our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father who loved us," past tense, "and by his grace gave us," past tense already, "eternal encouragement and good hope." I've got just 2 points this morning as we go to the table to summarize these two verses, and I hope they're both a great encouragement to us all. The first one is simply this. The Lord has given us great encouragement. Roy, help me with that. Thank you. Paul begins his mid-letter benediction by reminding the Thessalonians of what God has already done. He invokes two of the persons of the triune God, our Lord Jesus Christ, he says himself. He doesn't want somebody else to do it, but Jesus himself. And then he names his Father, which he points out is, by adoption, our Father. He just as well could have named the Spirit here because anything the Son and the Father are doing includes the Spirit as well. But he names the Son and the Father, and then he reminds us what this triune God has done. What has he done? He's loved us. Church, he loved us. We're talking about God here. He loved us. Isn't that encouraging? How encouraging that must have been for the church of the Thessalonians to hear. Remember, they are being persecuted. It doesn't always feel like the Lord was loving them. I'm sure it didn't feel like the Lord was loving Clear Creek Evangelical Free Church in the holler. But Paul says, this Lord loved us. And he includes himself in there too. He doesn't say, the Lord loved you or the Lord loved me. He said, the Lord loved us. How? By choosing us. By sending his Son for us. By giving his Son for us. John 3:16, God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's eternal encouragement. And it never ends. The love of God. And it's a gift. He says, verse 16, it's by his grace. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We never could deserve it. We deserve the opposite of it. You know, some people go on missions trips to try to earn God's favor. If we just work hard enough and help enough people, then maybe God will save us. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. If that's how it works, we're doomed. No, Paul says the Lord loved us and by his grace gave us this eternal encouragement and good hope. Remember, hope in this context is a good future guaranteed. Hope is faith directed into the future, which is a sure thing because of God's grace. Penny just told you that one of the devotions she did for our group was her sharing her testimony of being encouraged by Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And just like God's plan for the exiled Israelites was for their good future, God's plan for us Christians is a good hope and a good future for all eternity because of God's grace. The Lord has given us great encouragement. That's verse 16. And because of that, Paul is bold to pray that the Lord would give us even more. That's verse 17. May the Lord who gave us this eternal encouragement, verse 17, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. That's point two. Point two, Roy. May the Lord give us great encouragement. Isn't that interesting? Then in verse 16, Paul says God has done it. And then in verse 17, he prays that God would do it. Same basic root word there, parakaleo, to encourage or comfort. God has encouraged. May he encourage. If God is handing out eternal encouragement, I think we can turn to him for daily encouragement too. Amen? May the Lord encourage your hearts. May the Lord encourage your hearts. May the Lord encourage your hearts. How encouraging that must have been for the Thessalonians to read that Paul was praying that for them. What a great thing for us to pray for each other. Yesterday, as I was preparing this message, I committed to praying these words for our church family every day for the rest of this year. And I'm going to begin praying these words for people all the time. Maybe when I'm with somebody and like Amy Jo, I reach out and I say, would it be okay if I prayed for you? I'm going to begin to pray 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17 for people. I'm glad it's our new memory verse. Let's write it in our encouragement cards. Let's send it to each other and let's pray, may the Lord encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So that encouragement to our hearts is meant to give us inner strength to do whatever the Lord has called us to do. The word for strengthen there could also be translated establish. It means to give us the inner stabilization that we need to do whatever the Lord is calling us to do. Paul prays that the Lord would strengthen us in every good deed and word. Some of your versions say every work and word. Everything we do, everything we say. That's about everything, isn't it? Everything that comes out of us. Everything we do and everything we say. Paul prays for the grace to give the Thessalonians fortification to keep on keeping on, even in the face of opposition and persecution. They were going to be tempted to give up. Some of them apparently already had. But Paul prayed that deep down they'd be encouraged and beefed up to do and say whatever the Lord would have them do and say. Every good deed and word. Every. That means all the good deeds that we did back in Kentucky. That means all the good deeds that we're called to do right here in Pennsylvania. That includes the good deeds that need to be done for the Good News Cruise. It includes all the good deeds that will be done at the Lance Free Fridge. It includes all the good deeds that need done at our homes and our jobs and our neighborhoods. I pray that God would strengthen you to get up and go to work tomorrow for Jesus. I pray that God would strengthen you to make dinner for your family for Jesus. I pray that God would strengthen you to give somebody a ride for Jesus. I pray that God would strengthen you to send somebody an encouragement card for Jesus in every good deed and word, because some of our best deeds are things we say, encouraging things, gospel things. We need to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who haven't heard it yet. That's the whole point of the Good News Cruise, so that they have eternal encouragement and good hope as well. Here's your devotional question as we go to the table. What good deeds and good words are you being called to do and say? Does anybody remember what our theme as a church is for 2025? I don't expect you all to remember that. But it's serving the King. Serving the King in 2025. As a church, we're focusing on stepping up and kneeling down to serve the King of Kingdoms. A group of us did that in special ways in the hollers of Eastern Kentucky. Maybe you're supposed to go on a crisis response trip yourself. Talk to Curtis about future trips. Or maybe you're supposed to sign up to park cars at the Good News Cruise or walk around talking to people at the cruise inn, getting outside your comfort zone. How are you supposed to step up and kneel down to serve the King of Kingdoms? The Lord has given us great encouragement for eternity. May the Lord give us great encouragement for today that empowers our words and works for Him. Amen.